I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Hello, welcome back to Smash Pod. This is part two. If you want to hear part one, why not go back and listen to that? In the meantime, here's part two. I hope you enjoy. I really do.
Buongiorno. Ho vi presente il grande bambini, direct from the Victoria Palace.
The Victoria Palace, eh? I played there myself in my younger days. What kind of an act do you do?
Escapologist.
A what?
I escape.
Escape from what?
From tanks filled with water, from chains, from locked cages.
Yeah, but not from your hotel bill, I hope.
They get stopped by a policeman who's played by the Big Lebowski.
Yeah, it's by Santa.
Of course, Santa, yeah.
Yeah, I think that shows how relatively cool we are in terms of our movie taste, that you go straight to that one and I go straight to Santa Claus, the movie.
He's more
David
important.
David Huddleston.
That's right, yeah.
A chap called Mortimer McGraw. Yeah. Who is billed? He's an actor called what's his name? Gig Young, who is credited special guest appearance, which is odd when it's a one-off thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. But he was an Oscar winner for a film called They Shoot Horses, Don't They, or something like that. And but at this point, his career was in massive decline. He'd been fired from Blazing Saddles because of his alcoholism. And he was around about the same time as this. He was in a Gene Roddenberry pilot called Spectre, which is not about Bond, but it's about an occult detective. Which, you know, I'm sure the pilots for occult detectives in American TV were probably 10 a penny in those days.
He was called Ian Spectre.
Yeah, that was him. Yeah, he played Ian Spectre in it. Yeah. But then 2 years after this...
Ian Spectre Moore, sorry.
That's him, yeah. In 78, he would murder his fifth wife and then shoot himself. Enjoy this guy's performance. You can tell he's a bit kind of...
He's a bit rosy-cheeked.
You can tell they've tried to clean him up, put some coffee down him to get him onto the set. He's a bit slow in his delivery. But yeah, that's Gig Young there. So, but Santa's keeping him right.
Yeah, but they basically say to him, we've got this case where we think gold's been stolen, and because of the letter he's got, he says, I'm sorry, I can't do anything.
And in order to remind the viewers about the letter, we get Moriarty's voice telling Holmes this again.
God. Yeah,
because there's been adverts, probably, between the two scenes. So they'll have gone off and done something, and adverts in America probably last about 25 minutes.
They do, yeah.
Yeah, there's been... they explain to Holmes that beneath Manhattan... there lies the International Gold Exchange, which contains all the world's gold, where there's a vault for every country, and you just move it between them in order to transfer payments between countries.
Right.
It's like PayPal.
Yeah.
Prior to PayPal. But in 3 days' time, there's going to be a transfer between Germany and Italy, and if it fails to go through, we're going to have a world war.
Goodness.
Why? I don't know why Italy and not Britain. I don't know why they've had to make that the stakes.
Yeah.
Because Italy weren't exactly the biggest hitters in the First World War.
Well, you'd know.
Yeah, well, it took them over a year to join after it all kicked off.
Bastards. Ooh. Do you remember there was a Coogan-Bryden thing in the early 2000s about them going on a cruise ship? I think it was called
Cruise of the Gods?
Yeah.
Yeah, David Walliams was in it, wasn't he?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
And Corden.
Yeah.
But it was about these actors who, when they were kids, were in a very famous sci-fi program. It was supposed to be like Tomorrow's People. But the Coogan character in that went on to be a very successful actor, and Brydon didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time they were going to do this cruise, Coogan was doing a TV series in America, not in real life, obviously, I should say.
Mm.
I think it was called Sherlock Holmes in Washington. Or something like Sherlock Holmes somewhere. He was playing like a hip, cool Sherlock Holmes in modern day. And I always think of that when I think of any Holmes adaptations, particularly the, was it Elementary?
Yeah.
The John Lee Miller one.
Which I'm told is very good, but I've never seen.
Same, yeah.
Yeah, I'm told it's excellent. But the one I always think of, the more outlandish ones, was the late 90s, early 2000s animated series, Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century. Did you ever see that one?
I didn't, no.
No, it had, for some reason, after he murdered Moriarty, Holmes bricked him up in an ice cave and kept him there. Oh. And then, you know, hundreds of years later, somebody extracted Moriarty's DNA and cloned him. But luckily, Holmes had also been frozen or something. So he's brought back to life. He's got a robot Watson.
Right.
And a sort of futuristic space cop, Lestrade, who's also a lady.
Was this for kids?
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah. It wasn't like Japanese. What's that Japanese animation called?
Well, that stuff that sort of people with dodgy hard drives are into. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, it wasn't that. No, it was an American or maybe Canadian show.
Oh.
I don't think it ran for very long.
No, it doesn't sound that interesting.
No, not really.
No.
It's I don't think, if you're going to get, you can't really sell Sherlock Holmes to kids by doing things like that to it. I think you have to sort of always maintain the correct spirit of it. That's why when I was a kid, I was massively into young Sherlock Holmes.
Yes.
Which is such a brilliant move.
Well, the kids should discover Sherlock Holmes like we did and be forced to watch it every week on ITV. Yeah.
Exactly.
And fall in love with it sort of via Stockholm Syndrome. No, I mean,
or just buy amusing gifts of Jeremy Brett.
Exactly. Well, you've got the best one, of course.
It's the thing I'm proudest of making.
Yeah, it's so good. but yeah, the Brett series was just incredible. It was a real one in a lifetime performance.
It was definitive. You know, it's up there with your man's Poirot as being the it's, you know, Brett never got to make all of the stories. That was his ambition.
Mm.
But then I always find watching those later ones very tough, where Brett's clearly very ill.
Yeah, the vampire one really looks really, really horrible.
Oh yeah, that's quite nasty. He also, I mean, he could be quite difficult to work with in terms. He wanted absolute fidelity to the stories, whereas, I mean, the stories don't really lend themselves well to the drama.
Mm.
But he wanted to treat every line in it like it was King Lear and do it exactly. So there was a lot of arguments with directors and writers. So yeah, they had a spot of they had some trouble making that series.
Mm. But God, it was worth it. They're so good.
Oh yeah, completely.
Also had two Watsons.
Yeah. Well, that's a funny one as well, because I think it works because they change over before and after the Reichenbach falls.
Yes.
So, and also because then Edward Hardwick's Watson is more—he's older and a bit more weary and cynical, whereas David Burke is quite young and go-getty.
Yeah.
But David Burke left the series because, well, partially because he had a chance to go and work in London with his wife rather than be stuck up in Manchester, and also his young son had just been born, Tom Burke, who's a brilliant actor.
Hmm.
You know, remember him? What's he been in? Oh, he's in everything. You'd know if you saw him.
I'm gonna look him up.
He was in. He's in that J.K. Rowling series. What was it? Cormorant Strike. Yeah. But the main reason, though, that David Burke left the series was because Brett said, "I'm leaving," and then they said, "Yeah, I'm leaving too." What? I said, "Well, you said you were. I've handed him a notice. You said you were leaving. Well, I'm not leaving." And so yeah, there was. Yeah, Brett's mood can come and go. You know.
Yeah. Well, David Burke's on Tom Burke. What a career. He started off in Dragonheart, A New Beginning.
Oh, yes. These are classic.
And then his latest film is David Fincher's latest film.
Oh.
He's playing Orson Welles.
Wow.
Yeah.
I would not imagine him as Orson Welles.
No.
Oh, I bet that would be good.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him play Flashman. Oh, I think he has the exact look to play Flashman. But, I mean, the chances of a Flashman being made is nil. Yeah. But, you know. What's happened? Oh, yeah, so all the gold has been stolen.
Yes. And Holmes annoys the policeman because he's like, well, I can't do this.
Mm. Doesn't give them a reason.
No,
he just blows them off. Yeah. Not like that.
Not like that. Although he is in a park. Mm. I'm told that sort of thing happens. but yeah, so the next day, the policemen leave angry, and the next day, Holmes is annoyed. He says, "Moriarty has committed the crime of the century, and I'm powerless to circumvent."
Yes. Mm. By blackmailing all the robbed nations, Moriarty is going to rule the world.
Mm.
So yeah, it's quite a crime.
So he then decides to play violin.
Yeah, and Watson just stands about and tells Holmes that he's a cunt for playing the violin.
And then he's grateful to him.
Yeah.
He says...
bloody time.
Yeah, he says that he realises he needs to save the boy and save the day and the world. So he returns back into the room with his pipe and a whole bag of tobacco because he says it's going to be a four-pipe problem, which means he's going to masturbate all night.
He then Watson then has the comeback of the film where he says, "Take care you don't set the upholstery afire like you did that night in Ashby de la Zouche."
Yeah.
Mm.
Everyone remembers the great fire of Ashby de la Zouche.
We do. But yeah,
where the Golden Wonder Factory was.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh, exotic. So we get our montage, which is of Roger Murr sitting around.
Yeah, smoking.
It would have been better
pipe.
If he had the skag out, and then you know, the dead babies could have been crawling along the ceiling. And
lager, 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 lager.
Dale Winton starts talking to his parents.
That would have been much better.
I'm out my fucking box, Watson.
Choose life, Watson.
Imagine the greatest orgasm you've ever had. Times it by 100.
You're not even close. That's better than any meat injection I've ever had. So the next day, he's hit upon a theory that poor little Scott may have unwittingly been involved in his own kidnapping because that he'd have been taken by someone he trusted.
Yes. He also deduces that the kidnapper was a woman.
Mm.
Because the nanny was attacked by someone who grabbed her by the hair and then kicked her in the shin,
which is a very ladylike thing to do, he says.
Yeah, apparently he sounds a bit like women attack people, apparently.
Yeah, he comes across a bit like Folks for that very moment from North Sea Hijack. A giant step backwards.
How I love Folks.
Oh, everybody loves Folks. Everyone wants to be Folks secretly. Not just because of the misogyny, just because he does not give a fuck about anything.
Also, the woolly hat and all the little cats and things.
And the tapestry that he's always making.
Oh, yes. So he decides he wants to go back to see Irene.
Mm.
And he says to Watson, "I need to question her. Would that sedative have worn off?"
Mm.
So what the fuck have you given her?
Yeah.
So it's a day later.
It's awful. The way they treat people. And he says, "We're going to have to go immediately." And as they leave, McNee has another good line where he looks back into the room and goes, "Oh, the kippers will go cold." That's where we are with Watson in this film. He's just a bumbling fucking idiot.
Yeah. We should also point out during this time that Holmes and Watson are being tailed and observed by the most conspicuous spy in the world, who stands out in the street wearing a very loud Czech suit.
Mm. Looks like he's come from vaudeville.
Yeah, I'm expecting him to be like, "Ah, what's going on with these nowadays, eh?"
Yeah.
Yeah, like twirling his bowler hat up and down.
Expecting him to sort of kick dancing up and down the street singing, "I'm so wild about Harry." Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
But in order to throw this spy off, they utilise the acting skills of Irene Adler.
Yes.
By putting Holmes's hat and coat on her.
Mm.
And that this will... That Charlotte Rampling will somehow pass for the strapping 6'2" actor Roger Murr.
Yeah.
By getting into a coach wearing his coat. But it fools the guy.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe you
not
know,
for the first time as well. He gets fooled again in a bit.
Yeah, well, the guy must be blind.
Yeah, he must be.
Meanwhile, Roger goes off. Roger's asked to find, what was it, the best theatrical...
Costumier
shop, so he can dress as a sort of racist Italian Peter Wingard.
Yeah, so he turns up as the officer from a lower low. he gets out of a carriage, sort of going, "Oh, not Neapolitana, pasta,
ma steak and a mica,
ravioli." he's called the Great Bandini, and he's an escapologist.
Yes, so he's got a great big trunk with him.
Yes,
it is very clever.
Yeah. He says, "I escape from anything." See.
But he's because he's deduced that because Scott was a fan of an opera singer.
Yes.
He's getting his first urges of the draw of the irresistible lure of the female form.
Yeah.
By watching some French lady sing opera. I mean, it was exactly the same for me when I was that age. I'm sure you were the.
I was really into Dame. Can't remember.
Carita Kanawha.
Carita Kanawha. Yeah. She sounded like she could play rugby. Yeah, I was a big fan of hers.
Oh yeah, big on that.
Big fan of opera actually, because it's technically classical karaoke, isn't it?
Oh yeah, it completely. Yeah. I still remember the long hot summer of 1990, where we could all pretend to be classy by having the Best of Pavarotti tape in the car. That was our holiday soundtrack that year.
Yeah, and was that the Scotland were involved in the World Cup that year too?
Yes. Yeah. Well, only in the first round, as usual. But yeah, we were there briefly.
I mean, there are children, there are Scottish children now. I have no memory of Scotland competing.
That's true. 98 was the last time.
Crazy, isn't it?
Someone said to me in all seriousness recently, said, "Does Scotland even have a football team?" And if I had any woad, I would have been splattering it on my face there and then, I can tell you.
It
wasn't an English person either, before anyone asks him. But yeah, opera singers. So yeah, young Scott is a fan.
He's a fan.
And so
Roger tracks her down.
We're not quite sure how.
Yeah.
Must have asked at the theatre. But yeah, his plan is to take the unconscious, sedatized, what's the word? Sedative addled.
Yeah.
Scott into a trunk and smuggle him out. I mean, who does he think he is? Kate and Jerry McCann.
He's going to then do a national.
That's getting cut.
He's then. Well, I was going to say he's going to do a. We want our Shannon to come home. He's going to do t-shirts.
It's all around Asda.
Yeah.
Holmes is such a bastard. That's the sort of thing he would do.
So also, you'd not be surprised if Watson was then arrested for having child porn on his computer.
I think the Shannon Matthews case was inspired by the Norwood Builder, which is one of the Holmes short stories where a man bricks himself up in his house and pretends he's dead.
That's in Jonathan Creek as well.
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, he sneaks Scott out in the chest and brings him back to Adler's disguised as a hansom cab driver, or cab driver, I should say.
Yeah.
And then with the implication of that Watson and Holmes are moving into the Adler's.
Yeah, they have their empty luggage moved in.
Oh.
So they can work from the hotel unobserved.
Yeah, and the guy in the checked suit sees all that and then says to a cab that is next to him, "Tell Moriarty that Holmes and Watson have moved in with the Adler's."
This character as well is also Nickers.
Yeah.
He's meant to be the brother of the unseen Nickers.
Yes.
Who is in England.
Who is in England.
For some reason.
Who we find out is this one of the Twickenham Toffs?
Oh, is he one of those one of those gangs, roaming street gangs from Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, the Twickenham Toffs.
Yeah.
They wear bowler. Oh, God, that Assassin's Creed Victorian one was so shit. Little bowler hats and sideburns and sticks.
They've all gone. They've gone very downhill, really.
Although the new one, is it going to be like Vikings or something?
Vikings, yeah, but it's going to still be a massive RPG all about your sword needs to have this number in order to hit someone. They're not allowed. They don't want you to have fun anymore playing these games. Yeah.
No, the first one was so much fun.
The Venetian one. That's my favorite one. But
oh yeah, that was good.
But anyway, Holmes and Watson, because they haven't been able to spirit out Scott, they are now free to work on the case of the bank job.
Yes, which he solves immediately, by the way.
Yeah, and as an audience member, I solved it immediately.
Yeah.
When he asks about the speed of the lift, that's pretty much you've solved it right then, haven't you?
Yeah, the lift is, instead of, it's been tampered with, so it doesn't go to the correct floor.
and the builders have made a false vault. So when you go in there, it looks like it's empty. But as far as the people are concerned, they're going to the correct floor.
Yes.
And he solves that immediately whilst wearing a pimp hat.
Yeah, it's a very good hat.
It's got like a fluffy pimp hat.
Yeah, it's got a sort of alpine feather in it.
Yeah.
But yeah, because Holmes also, because the cover is that Moriarty's men have used the digging of the subway to tunnel into the vault and remove the gold. But Holmes deduces that given the weight and amount of the gold, it would take 12 days to empty it, which would be impossible. It was less than 12 days between the crime being discovered and the previous time someone had been in there. So, yeah, by confirming the depth of the subway excavation and observing that the lift cable still has some wrap around it, he realises that there's an empty one built up. I mean, it's a really clever solution to the story. It's just that it's in a dogshit film.
Also, that's Moriarty's crime of the century, Stephen.
Yeah.
And the century doing changing rooms. After. Yeah, doing changing rooms, yeah. It'd be better if his crime of the century was to make a floating shelf for antique teapots. Oh, the teapots are broken all over the floor, Mr. Holmes. What have you done? Your meddling has caused all my antique teapots to break.
His greatest crime would be flogging 100 megabytes. USB sticks to people who think that it'll stop them getting 5G cancer.
Oh, God, yeah, I saw about that.
For 500 quid. I am furious that I didn't think of it first.
Yeah, and what were they? Just blank USB sticks with a sticker on them?
Yeah, they'd put a little holographic sticker on them. But they weren't even 1 gig. Yeah. They were a couple of meg.
That's amazing.
So I just take my several hats off to...
You know who was behind that, don't you?
Who was that?
Moriarty.
Moriarty.
My crime of the century and the century before.
From my base underneath O'Leary's.
Don't get the wet after Hope. Midnight, Mr. Oh, sorry, I forgot.
My mate bought a toaster. We go through celebrities' Amazon purchase histories so you don't have to keep calm and love Dom Jolly novelty keyring and fridge magnets.
Yeah, I love that.
The G-spot.
The good vibrations, guys.
Green dot laser sight rifle gun scope.
I've bought that quite a lot of times, I think.
Right, okay. The sex doctor's guide to keeping it hot.
Ah, interesting.
Did another child come along 9 months later?
Yeah.
Loads of great apps up now, and new ones dropping every Monday. That's My Mate Bought a Toaster from Great Big Al.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
So now that's he's put that to bed.
But the film goes on for ages.
The film goes on for ages because he goes home and then he goes, I'm still worried about the boy. So then he decides to dress up as one of Charles Manson's gang.
Yeah.
It's got this massive long beard and long hair, and he's holding a sign saying, the end is near. Repent, for the end is near. And he goes to stand next to the man in the checked suit, and then decides to follow him.
Mm-hmm.
And then outside of Moriarty's lair, confronts him, and there's a wonderfully shit moment where he's saying to the guy, he says, "Mr. Knickers, I presume."
Yeah. And again, then, no joke.
Yeah, he should have said something better. And he's pointing a gun at him, and there's a wonderful shit shot where you see Moriarty open his window and just peer out and watch. Could you have not done that a bit better? Look like a nosy neighbour. Keep the noise down. I'm doing the crime of the century in here.
That orange order marching again, the bastards.
I'm trying to put my antique teapots on a floating shelf. Oh, no, they've fallen off. But Rog basically just... Sherlock, for having a big mouth, has basically just confessed to Moriarty of what he's done. So he knows that Adler's got Scott again.
Yeah. It's heavily hinted as well. There's a very long scene where, a sort of romantic scene between Rog and Charlotte Rampling, where apparently Holmes and Adler spent a week in Montenegro, which he spent inside Irene for an indeterminate length of time.
Yeah.
Quite why that's in there, we don't know.
No.
But yeah, they're lured to the park by Moriarty, Irene, and Scott, because we need to have a chase to end the film.
Yes, they sent a telegram saying Sherlock wants to meet you in the park.
Mm.
And yeah, they go there and they get kidnapped. And then we get a chase with cabs.
The kid doesn't look at all bothered by the fact he's been kidnapped.
No.
He's wrong. Also, they're chasing in one of those police wagons that people get locked in the back of.
Yeah.
And Inspector Lafferty's with them, David Huddleston. Yeah. Now, he should have been driving the cab because he can make reindeer fly.
Exactly.
So they'd have got him a lot quicker.
He gives them crack, though. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the way they start to go,
man! Yeah. But there, eventually he confronts Moriarty back in his lair.
Mm-hmm. Which he points out is an exact replica of his one in London.
I see you've duplicated your London rooms. No, it's the same set.
Yeah. Which Moriarty says, "I've got what I want. I've got the boy." Dirty.
Yeah. This is him in Chinatown again, isn't it?
This is him going into the priesthood.
Controversial.
Yeah.
So then they have a punch up.
Yeah, Scott kicks Moriarty in the shin.
Yeah.
Proving that it's not just women who do it. Yeah. Sexist.
So he could have been kidnapped by a small boy.
Yeah. So Holmes does a suicide dive over the desk.
Yeah.
And they have a bit of a... And Moriarty, he tries to employ his... Because not only has he replicated the room, he's replicated the exact same traps.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to attack Holmes with those, as well as a sword and a dagger. So he's got all this stuff going, but yeah, he's no match for strapping old Holmes.
Yep. Mm. But he still lets him go.
Yeah, he runs away down a corridor with the threat of a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
And Watson does the one thing that is at all proactive in this movie, because someone gets distracted and Holmes nearly falls down the trapdoor.
That's right.
And that's how Moriarty escapes. And so Watson comes and he helps pull Holmes out.
Hmm.
And that's the extent of Watson's action in this. Yeah.
Apart from drinking wasps. And then he reveals to the police the gold is still there, just as he suspected.
Mm-hmm.
And they say to him, "Aren't you going to explain how you did this?" And he said, "No, but I'm sure one day Dr. Watson will." You need to do a bit better than that.
Yeah.
If I was the policeman, I'd say, "No, I need to know actually now."
Yeah, I've got to file a report for this.
Yeah.
I can't just put TBA.
So they go
see the Strand magazine.
Yeah. So they go and see Irene Adler, and he says to her, what are Scott's interests? And she says, "Music, solving problems, heroin." And we find out that Scott is his son. I mean, we've known that since the first minute he said his middle name was Scott.
Yeah. And I'm sure her play is rubbish. We don't get to see it.
No, thank God.
Yeah.
And then Holmes and Watson get a cab, and Watson then turns into leave.eu. It'll be much better when we go back to England. It's much better there. Everything's much better there, and you can live in Baker Street again, and you don't have to worry about foreigners.
And drive on the left.
Yeah. And Jack the Ripper. Good honest British murderers.
Yeah, none of this nonsense.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the film ends.
Yeah.
That's your lot.
That's your lot.
It passes 90 minutes, I suppose.
Yeah, God, it does. If you were in Dignitas, it would be quite a nice thing to watch before you die, I think.
Would it?
After the pornography, obviously.
Suppose, yeah, I was going to say, once I've finished all the pornography, yeah. Mm.
What would you say if, I mean, taking the TV series to one side, which obviously is brilliant and the best adaptation ever, film-wise, do you think there's been a good Sherlock Holmes film?
I don't know. I quite like the first one with Robert Downey Jr. Mm. I remember really loving it. I mean, I can't remember a single thing about the second one, though.
It was really boring.
Yeah.
It was good Moriarty, but everything else.
Yeah, Moriarty escapes and then he blows up Chernobyl, doesn't he?
Yes, right, yeah.
Yeah. What other good Holmes films are there?
Well, there was the... didn't Ian Richardson do one?
He did two.
Sign of Four.
They were for television.
Yeah.
He had two different Watsons as well.
Yeah.
I think one was Ronald Lacey. In fact, they were around the same time as Jeremy Brett.
That's right.
I think Ian Richardson hoped that there would be a series, but then Brett's series happened and that, so his didn't. And he never spoke to Jeremy Brett after that.
Mm. Mm.
But they're not very good.
There was the Charlton Heston one, which is appalling.
Oh God! Where that, and there was a stage one that Charlton Heston played, where Jeremy Brett played Watson.
Wow!
Yeah, that ran for a long time. There's the Basil Rathbone, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
There's the great. Oh, I mean, his ones for radio are a lot better because they're straight adaptations, and Watson is not a simpleton in those.
And people pronounce the H in his name.
Yeah,
Mr. Holmes.
And there's the there's of course the Second World War ones as well, where he's now fighting the Nazis.
That's
in fact,
right.
And there's one called Sherlock Holmes in Washington.
That's right. And at the end, where he talks about how it's a horrible war, but we'll get through it, Watson.
Yeah, buy war bonds.
Yeah, that's basically what he says. Yeah.
Yeah, and what was the other? There was another.
There was the Richard Rothsborough one. I want to say the early 2000s.
I wasn't a fan of that one.
No.
And there was one. There was a really terrible one with. Rupert Everett.
Oh yeah, the Silk Stocking.
Yeah, which I think Rupert Everett would—he could be a brilliant Sherlock Holmes, but yeah, that was not a good adaptation. Yeah. That one, and yeah, because the Richard Roxburgh one was The Hound of the Baskervilles.
That's right. Yeah,
with Richard E. Grant as the baddie.
That's right. I knew Richard E. Grant was involved somewhere.
Has he ever? He should have been Sherlock Holmes, surely.
Yeah, he should have been. Considering he'd have the triumvirate, he'd have been a cult character, Doctor Who, and Sherlock Holmes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I wonder if he's done it for radio. He was the Scarlet Pinkernel as well, of course.
Oh, yeah, I loved that show.
That was good.
I think I was the only person who did.
No, I quite liked it as well.
There was it's funny, though, there's been only two actors who were Doctor Who and Sherlock Holmes, and no one's been able to do both well.
Oh, Tom Baker.
Peter Cushing. Yeah, Tom Baker, famously. He did a version of The Hound of the Baskervilles straight after Doctor Who for Barry Letts, who had cast him in Doctor Who.
Hmm.
But it's not very good. And then, of course, Peter Cushing, who is one of the very best Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, that was Hound of the Baskervilles as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he did a TV series in the 60s with, I think it was Nigel Stock was Watson in that.
Wow.
And because it's the 60s BBC, I think only something like 5 episodes still exist, which is a bit of a shame.
That's typical.
Yeah.
I'm just looking to who Watson was in the Tom Baker one.
Oh, was it
Terence Rigby?
I was going to say Terence Rigby. I was going to say Ronald Lacey again, but yeah. Apparently, it's just sort of a very sort of studio bound, slow, lot of talking adaptation.
It looks a bit like The Talons of Wen Chung.
Yeah, in fact, Tom Baker played Holmes and Moriarty in a play. Which he said, he talks about it in his autobiography, but he said he didn't see it as a success. It wasn't one of his favourite things.
Hmm.
But I'd be interested in that. I'd have loved to have seen, because there was the stage play as well with Jeremy Brett and Edward Hardwick, The Secret of Sherlock Holmes, which I read the script for. I wish I could have seen it. But which again, it makes the inferral that maybe Holmes and Moriarty are the same person.
Hmm.
Hmm. Because in the stories, no one ever meets Moriarty except for Holmes.
That's interesting.
So people think, did he invent him as a way of killing himself off?
as he is Tyler Durden.
Yes, that's it. Make a film of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would turn up.
That would be a good film.
Rather than constantly tease us with Andrew... Oh, what's his name? The one in Sherlock.
Oh, Andrew Scott.
Andrew Scott, yeah. That he's, you know, he blows his brains out on screen, and they keep on... At the end of every episode after it, they keep saying, oh, he might come back. Mm. No, he's not.
Oh, he's dead.
We just need to do this to make you watch the next one.
So what we're saying is this is probably the best Sherlock Holmes film.
Yeah, I'd give this 5 stars.
Yeah. Oh, actually, there was the Billy...
Out of 50.
There was the Billy Wilder one as well, wasn't there? The Private Life.
Oh, that's brilliant, that one. With Robert Stevens?
Yes.
Robert Stevenson? Yes, who, that's did, excellent.
Didn't he also, oh, no, he didn't play Moriarty, did he? That was Eric Stevens.
Oh, I can't remember.
No, I can't remember.
But that's the one with Christopher Lee as Mycroft Holmes.
That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry we had to watch such a bad film.
Yeah, I mean, since I've been on this podcast, you've had me do The Boys in Blue with Cannon and Ball.
Yeah.
And Michael Caine pretending to be Stalin for 6 hours.
Yes.
I'm not really drawing the best straws in this.
And A View to a Kill.
And A View to a Kill, yeah, to be fair.
So you have to pay the piper for that one. Oh, by the way, what's your favourite Jeremy Brett episode?
The Redheaded League.
Mm.
Easy. It's my favourite of the Conan Doyle short stories as well.
Mm.
But they're able to do something with that to flesh it out because they introduce Moriarty into it. Because the Redheaded League is such a crazy idea that it could only have come from a mind such as Moriarty.
Yeah.
And it's got Tim McInerney and Richard Wilson.
That's right.
It's got a top cast.
Top cat?
Yeah, I think that's that. Yeah, it's got top cat as
oh,
well.
Oh, wow. I also have
the gold in a bin.
Yeah. I have a very soft spot for The Sign of Four with John Thor as well.
That's a good one. Yeah, really I like that one. That was made for the, I think that was the 100th anniversary of Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, was it?
So that was their celebratory episode. They didn't try and do the 5 Sherlocks.
No. Or... They should do that.
Yeah, they should have done.
So that the little pygmy guy, and that was quite scary.
Yeah. I remember seeing that as a kid, and I didn't like it. And also John Thor with one leg freaked me out for some reason when I was a kid. I was quite frightened. I didn't like going to the school toilets on my own because I thought John Thor with a wooden leg was going to be there.
Yeah, and he was.
I'm going to have to speak to someone qualified about that.
Yeah. Right, here we go. So, Stephen Graham.
Yes.
What's your favourite James Bond film?
My favourite James Bond film is... Like my serious answer or my silly answer? I think my serious answer would be probably Casino Royale, which is... You know, it came at the right time as a relaunch, and it was just so, everything in it was so brutal and nasty, and it had that real edge to it that I think, you know, Ian Fleming would have enjoyed. But then my silly answer would be Diamonds Are Forever, which is just flat out fun from start to finish.
Yeah, what's your least favourite Bond film?
Last time I was on this, I think I said Die Another Day, didn't I?
Mm.
I think I'd revise that now. Because, funnily enough, I remember when I listened to the first podcast you did on Die Another Day.
Yeah,
it did change my opinion on it. I forget who the guest was, but
that was Joel Morris.
Yes, you were both able to sort of pick out things about it that were quite enjoyable, and I sort of went back and looked at it again. I thought, well, yeah, okay. I mean, it was of its time, but all Bond films are. Yeah, I think now I'd revise it to probably Spectre, which I think that's the only time, other than Quantum of Solace, that I've been absolutely bored during a Bond film.
And what's
the reason it ranks worse than Quantum of Solace is that I don't remember anything about Quantum of Solace.
No.
But with Spectre, I remember being very, very bored.
What's your least favourite Sherlock Holmes Jeremy Brett episode?
One of the ones where he's nearly dead.
Yeah.
Where he's just looking awful and it's extremely sad to watch. Or... That time during the second or third series where he's in between series, he cut his own hair in a bout of sort of depression.
Hmm.
It's quite upsetting, really. I'm one of those people, I can never watch an actor's final film.
Hmm.
You know, when you start, especially when you go back to a certain generation of actors, it's normally their final film because they're very, very drunk and they're starting to fall down. They've probably been overdubbed because their voice is gone, and it's a very sad thing to watch. Whereas my friend David, he will actively seek out the final film of every actor because he loves all that sort of thing.
David Barnes?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, we did an episode a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, excellent. I was about to say, you should get him on.
He did Spectre.
Oh, brilliant. Oh, excellent. I look forward
to that. Wanted to get a writer on to try and fix it, and he did. It was very good.
He could have done. He would have put a lot more farcical jokes in it.
Yeah.
And at least one person crashing through a wall. And a character called Lazenby. Everything Barnes wrote at university had a character called Lazenby in it.
So Bond is full of... Oh, sorry. Could you give us your Bond made-up film title?
Oh, Lord. I haven't thought of any of these. Let's think. I'm looking out the window to try and inspiration, and nothing is coming by. I think... The Neighborhood Watch.
The Neighborhood Watch, it's fine. What about a made up Conan Doyle title?
Ah, that would be something like The Adventure of the U-Tree Barn. Something.
Okay, good. What about a silly...
Don't want to know what happens in there.
We certainly don't, but we'll find out in about 20 years. Bond is full of silly lady names. Have you got a silly Bond lady name?
My girlfriend came up with her. If she was a drag queen, her name would be So Shelley Awkward.
So nice. That would work.
I think that would work. So, yeah. So Shelley Awkward. She's she works in accounts at MI6.
Yeah.
And she has one scene where Roger Moore flirts with her. She's about 60 years younger than him.
You could retcon it, and that could be the name of the lady who he boob zooms.
Yes, yeah, that seems. In fact, that's who she is.
Mm.
Yeah, that's so where Shelley Awkward. From. Yeah,
that's perfect. Oh, what's your favourite name in the Sherlock Holmes stories?
Oh, there's so many. I think it was the one. Was it Grimsby Roylott that I mentioned?
Mm.
What's the name of the character in The Copper Beeches who was played by Joss Ackland? He plays a character called Jeffro Rucastle.
Jeffro Rucastle.
Yeah, which is a great, and he hires a nanny in that one. It's a Natasha Richardson, I think, who plays her.
Ah.
And he makes her sit by the window and says, "Do you like funny stories?" That's my seduction technique, I have to say.
My favourite one was always, and I need to look it up to be sure. Yes, my favourite one was always Jabez Wilson.
Oh, yes.
Just the name Jabez.
That's a brilliant Victorian name, which went sadly out of fashion.
Mm.
Mm.
Probably quite right.
I think it's a variant of James.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But yeah,
I might start calling my son Jabez.
I think so.
Yeah. Who would you have as James Bond, or indeed Sherlock Holmes next?
Who would I have as James Bond? I remember last time I was here, I said Adrian Lester. I stick by that.
Hmm.
I mean, I'm not sure how old Adrian Lester is, but I don't care.
He's 78.
Well, fine. So is Daniel Craig.
Who would you have as Sherlock Holmes? That's a more interesting question, I think.
I think I should be Sherlock Holmes.
I think you should.
I'm tall. I'm dark haired. I never really thought of who should be Sherlock Holmes, but I always thought Miles Jupp would be a brilliant Dr. Watson.
Mm.
I always pictured him in. For all I know, he's played him, but I always thought he'd be a brilliant Dr. Watson.
That's a good shout. Rufus Sewell.
Oh, yeah, he's excellent.
I'm just checking his age. He might be too old. How old is he? He's 52, so yeah, he's probably too old. But
so as Bond or as Holmes?
Oh, as Holmes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, he definitely has the.
You need someone with that kind of face, don't you?
Yeah, he's got those lived-in looks. He's a handsome man, but you can tell he's been around.
Mm.
He's probably I'm sure he hasn't, but you could imagine that his character has stuck some needles in his arm.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Stephen, thank you so much for going to New York with me.
Yeah, it's been lovely pretending to be in New York when we've in fact been in Southern California.
Yes. Good God. We should probably make a rule that we're never going to do a TV movie again.
Yeah, well, when you first asked me to do another one, you wanted me to do, what was it, Adventures of a Private Eye? or one of those British
one of the Confessions movies. Yeah,
yeah. You are on a mission to depress me.
I know. I'm sorry.
I know, because I mean, it's got John Pertwee at the end with the fan falling.
Oh no, it was Adventures of the Private Eye. Yes, you're right. Yeah, it was only because it had Pertwee in it. I thought we could have a nice time, and then I actually watched a bit of it on Prime, and I was like, this is really depressing.
I hope no one caught you.
No.
Not hope they did.
Actually, it's probably in my viewing history now. Oh God, I hope no one thinks I've had a wank to it. That'd be really depressing.
Yeah, and you'll get all the recommendations now as well, because you watched 2.5 minutes of Adventures of a Private Eye.
I think we know why I watched, which 2.5 minutes I watched, by the way, not in a not from a masturbatory point of view. It was to see Pertwee having a fan dropped on his penis.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, like a normal man, you're not going to watch it for naked 70s beauties. You're going right. to watch it for a naked John Pertwee.
With his medallion.
Yeah, I mean, what man, red-blooded British male, wouldn't?
What was it with Pertwee and medallions?
Oh, he loved his medallion, didn't he?
Didn't he?
Yeah, he wore that all the time. Oh. Yeah, I recently watched the entire box set of Whodunit, and he wears it in that.
Wow. Big old shirts in those as well.
Oh, yeah, it's tremendous.
Yeah. Well, Stephen, thank you so much.
Pleasure as always, in a way.
Yeah, in a way. At least we talked about other good Sherlock Holmes things.
Yeah. Thanks, Rog.
Thanks, Rog. See you, Stephen.
Bye.
Bye.
Kezia McDonald.
And I'm Ellie Gibson.
And this is our new show, Extra Life.
It's basically us talking to funny people about video games.
When I was a kid, it was Grand Theft Auto.
The Sinclair ZX Spectrum.
We talk about the games people remember from when they were kids and what they're playing now.
Guitar Hero.
The Last of Us 2.
Combat on the Atari 2600.
No, I love Pokemon.
Anyway, find us anywhere you get your podcasts.
Extra Life.
GreatBigOwl.com.